إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us another opportunity to come together for a few moments for the performance of the congregational prayer, Salatul Maghrib, and inshaAllah, Salatul Isha, bi-idhnillah. Before we begin the class, the first thing I would like to say is that I want to personally apologize for the sisters' area. There are some problems with the cleanliness of the bathroom. Light is broken in the bathroom, and I don't know what other problems there are. And this is unfortunate, especially since we know that we're having a class today. For some reason or another, we still fell into this problem. But we apologize to the sisters, and inshallah, we hope that the next time we won't have such problems. After all, this is a masjid, and the masjid should be kept clean. And there's only one or two brothers, basically, who are really, attending to this. Brother Khalid is here every day, and he's cleaning the masjid, vacuuming, cleaning the bathrooms, doing all kind of other stuff. And I'm saying this is not really his personal responsibility, but it's the responsibility of all of us. We hope that, inshallah, in the future, we should try to keep the masjid clean every day, and especially when we know that we have our sisters coming here. Wallahu musta'an. Everybody should have received a copy of the questionnaire study guide for the lecture tonight, the second lecture in our character and manners in the Sunnah course, unless we don't have your email address. So if we don't have your email address, please, when you put your name on the attendance sheet, please give us, write clearly your email address so that inshallah whatever notes that we have, we can send them to you, and also so that the questionnaire study guide, so that you can receive it before the class, so you know what the topics are that we hope to discuss, and you also will know what the questions are that should be answered after the class. If we don't have your email address, please try to give it to us. Write it clearly. Sometimes a brother or sister writes an email address or a phone number and we can't read it. It's not clear. It's not legible. So please try to write clearly. Before we begin with the topics for tonight, which are carryover from last week. Last week, in lecture number one, we had 8 topics for the introduction to this course. And we covered 4 of them. So what we want to do tonight, inshallah, we would like to complete the remaining 4 topics that were from last week's introduction. And if we have time, the first hadith. Just quickly though, before we begin with the topics for tonight, I would like to ask the brothers particularly, because we won't be able to hear from the sisters at this time, the questions 1 through 4, which deal with the topics that we discussed last week, I would like to hear from you, from the brothers at least, what kind of answer you wrote for those questions. First question, discuss briefly the importance of ikhlas, sincerity. We'd like to have somebody give us an answer for this question. Discuss briefly the importance of ikhlas, sincerity. Even if you weren't here last week, you should know this. This is something that we all should know. Nobody wants to volunteer? Naam, jazakallah khair.
Now, for an action, accepted by Allah, it must be done sincerely for His pleasure alone.
Naam.
So, without sincerity of intentions, then the act that you're doing is of no value.
Naam. Okay, that's brief and to the point. That's the essence of the issue. That sincerity, ikhlas, is one of the two primary conditions for the validity of any act of worship that we do for the pleasure of Allah. Without it being sincerely for the sake of Allah, it's rejected, it will not be accepted. So that means everything that we do, that we hope to earn the pleasure of Allah through, or earn His reward, then it will be rejected, it will be invalid, if it's not done sincerely for the sake of Allah. So this shows that this sincerity is of the utmost importance, and it's something, brothers and sisters, everything that we do, we should be thinking about this. That we're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Whether it's something that's considered an act of worship, or just normal things that we're doing in life. Because every normal act, which is an adah, could be transformed into an ibadah, or act of worship, if it's done sincerely, for the sake of Allah, in a way that's acceptable to Allah. Second question, discuss or mention a dalil showing the importance of seeking knowledge. One evidence, either hadith or ayah from the Quran. One evidence, now. Now. Okay, so there's a supplication in the Quran in Surah Taha, 20 ayah.
20, Surah 20 with Taha.
Naam.
And
ayah number
114.
The brother is saying that this is a proof of the importance of seeking knowledge. That Allah have instructed us. He's given us a supplication in the Quran that we should ask Him, ask Allah to increase us in knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma. Rabbi zidni ilma. Three words. Everybody should know this supplication. If you don't know, you should learn it now. Rabbi zidni ilma. Ilman. Ilman. But you should pronounce it because of the rules of tajweed and recitation of Quran. You say ilma. Rabbi zidni ilma. O Allah, increase me. My Lord, increase me in knowledge. We gave a number of evidences from the Quran and Hadith. That wasn't one of them, but we accepted though. MashaAllah. Now. Now. Yeah, yeah. Naam. Naam. He said the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said that seeking knowledge is an obligation of every Muslim. It's obligatory. It's an obligatory duty. Allah has made it obligatory upon us to seek knowledge. How can you worship Allah, as He said? How can you worship Allah without knowledge? How can you worship Allah without knowledge? The next question, mention the author's name, date of birth, death, and something about his life and writings. This is like five questions. Somebody give me the author's name. Naam, somebody else. Somebody else. The author's name. You left out something, but you got most of it. Somebody else. Anybody got it without reading? Without reading it? Without reading it. Naam. Oh boy, mashallah, he faked me out with that one. Little boy's raising his hand. Naam. Shafi. Now, Abu Fadl, Abul Fadl, Shihabuddin, Ahmed, Ibn Ali, Ibn Muhammad, Ibn Muhammad, Ibn Ahmed, Al-Kinani, Al-Shafi'i. This is the full name of the author of the book, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. This is his full name, his laqab, his kunya, his madhab, and so on. And we don't expect you to memorize this, but if you did memorize it, he's a scholar that's worthy of knowing his name. He's a scholar, he's worthy of knowing his name. He's one of the greatest scholars in the history of Islam. And I say in the history of Islam, not in this time, in the history of Islam. He's one of the foremost scholars of hadith in the history of Islam. Okay, what about his date of birth and death? 773, that he was born, 773, yeah, and died? Uh-huh. 8th of Dhul Hijjah? Somebody help him. A52. Okay, mention something about his life and writings. Just one point about his life, something about his life. Now. From your memory. One point about his life, something you know about his life. Okay, he wrote over 150 books. One. Somebody else tell me something about his life or his writings. Now. He completed the memorization of the Quran at age 9. Somebody else. One thing. Now.
He learned from the scholars in Hijaz.
He learned from the scholars in Hijaz. And where else?
In Damascus. Sham.
Uh-huh. And his land. Where was he from?
Egypt.
Okay, what about something else? One more point about his life or his writings. One more thing about him. What else do we know about him? Okay, respect for all the scholars. What about his occupation? What was he doing?
He was a qadi. Right?
He was a qadi. Naam, he was a qadi. He was the chief qadi for 21 years over Egypt and Sham. Okay, what about, mention the title of the book and a brief description of his format or subject matter. Title of the book. Who knows the full title of the book? Full title of the book. No, say it. Somebody knows it. Somebody knows it. Bulug al-Maram. Uh-huh. Min.
Min. Min.
Help him, Muhammad.
I know it.
Min adillatu? What? Adillatu, evidences of what? Al-Ahkam. Al-Ahkam. The book is about Ahkam. It's hadith related to legal rulings in Islam. All the hadith in this book are related to legal rulings. Okay, the evidences for legal rulings. Okay, Bulug al-Maram min Adillat al-Ahkam. Okay, we know the book as Bulug al-Maram. That's what most people call it. We don't even know the English meaning of Bulug al-Maram. Everybody, if you ask them about the book, they tell you the name of Bulug al-Maram. How many people can tell you? What does Bulug al-Maram mean? We don't even know. We just know Arabic. Okay, no problem. Alhamdulillah. That's the real name of it anyway, right? Bulug al-Maram. The English, that's just somebody's translation. Tayyib. Okay. What about the format of the book? Something about the format of the book. How is the book arranged? Anything about how it's arranged. Now.
He uses a code system.
Okay, he has a system of how he identifies what?
The authenticity of the...
Not the authenticity.
Or the collectors of hadith.
The collectors. The people that those hadith were collected by. In other words, when he mentions a hadith, he tells you at the end of it where it's from. Today, sometimes, you know, you read books, and they quote a hadith and they don't say where it's from. Alhamdulillah, we much better. 25 years ago, it was worse, right? People just quote hadith and they never tell you where it's from. Now, today... They can't get away with that too much. But still today you find people writing books, they're quoting a hadith, they don't know where it's from. This was a long time ago. When he was quoting a hadith, he always tell you where it's from, what's the reference. From Bukhari, it's from Muslim, from Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasai, where's it from? So he used the code. Sometimes he said it's from the Sab'ah. And that means seven collectors that mainly took the hadith from those seven collectors. And if he said six, he meant a certain six. Those seven other than Ahmed. And if he said five, then he meant four books of Sunan along with Imam Ahmed and so on. He had a code that he used, and we talked about it last week. And the book is also, he said that it's a concise book. Meaning it's a summary. It's a small book. It's a very small book. And he collected it meticulously in order to what? Include the most important hadith that a person needs in order to know about the legal rulings in Islam. If a person reads that book, studies it, understands it, and he said, memorize it. We're going to memorize some of those hadith. Inshallah, a few of them. At least, out of 16, everybody should at least be able to memorize 8. Half, 50% you pass. That's fair enough, right? See, you got it in school, you got to get what, 65? That's the way it used to be in the old days. We said 50 you pass, no problem. get half of them, you can pass here, inshallah. Because in Jannah, right, the people who, their good deeds outweigh the bad deeds even by a little bit, they're in. That's Allah's way of measuring things. You don't have to get 60 or 75%. You just gotta make your good deeds outweigh the evil deeds. And there's no excuse for a person to lose with the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every good deed that you do, He multiplies it by at least 10. So in order for you to be in the hellfire, you gotta do 10 evil deeds to overcome one good deed. How can you lose? You do 2 good deeds, khalas, you're good to go. If you did 10 sins, all you gotta do is 2 good deeds, khalas, you outweigh them. At least 10, up to 700 or more, as much as Allah wills. And Allah is generous, Allah is rich. So inshallah, we're gonna memorize half of those hadith at least, right? I wish somebody said, I'll memorize all of them, all 16. Anybody courageous enough to say that? Jump out there like that? Jump out the window? Jazakallah khair. Please, brothers, make sure you sign the attendance every week. And if we have your email address, you don't have to write it. But if we don't have it, please write it clearly. Okay, brothers, quickly, inshallah, and sisters. Today, inshallah, we'd like to continue with what we started last week, introduction. Introduction to this class. And we did 4 of the topics of the introduction. We have 4 more to go. The importance of good character. 2 types of character. The status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a sunnah defined. If we have time, inshallah, we'll take the first hadith, the 6 rights of a Muslim to another Muslim. The importance of good character. This is the theme of our class. Character and manners in the sunnah. And we want to talk about the importance of good character, so that we can see the importance of this topic, and so that we can go into this thing wholeheartedly, like it's really important. Like it's really important. How important is good character? Believe me, if any one of us understood the importance of good character, of good manners and morals, if we really understood it, it would change our life. And that's what we really want to do. We want to change our lives. We want to change our manners and our behavior, our conduct, our character. We want to change it. We don't want to remain the same way we are. Unless somebody sitting here feels that their character is so good, they don't need to improve. That's different. If that's your condition, then mashallah. But for the rest of us, we should feel that we need to improve our character. I want to talk briefly about the importance of good character, of good moral character in Islam, so that the point can sink through, so that we can feel like we really do need to work hard at improving our character. Of those things which indicate that Islam is first and foremost an ethical and moral message, is Allah's prompting His servants, the mu'minun, the believers, in the Quran, to the purification of their souls and refinement of their morals and manners. In this light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, after swearing with the longest oath that's mentioned in the whole Quran, in Surah Ash-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, He says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالدُّحَاهَا. This is the oath. Wow, al-qasam. Allah is swearing, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالدُّحَاهَا. He's swearing by the sun and the brightness of the morning light of the sun. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. وَالْقَمَرِ. And He swears by the moon, which follows the sun, comes out after the sun. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. And by the day, and the brightness that it brings forth from the sun. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And the night, as it covers up the brightness of the sun. وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. وَالنَّفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. All of these are oaths. Allah is swearing. I swear by this, and I swear by this, and I swear by this, and I swear by this. And this is the longest oath that came in the Quran. And after that, Allah says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. قَدْ, definitely, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. He didn't just say أَفْلَحَ. He has been successful. He said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. Definitely, he has been successful. مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Who purifies itself, soul. The one who purifies himself, he has definitely been successful. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And he fails, the one who corrupts himself, by disobedience to Allah, by sin and corruption. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making us to know that the purification of the soul, the purification of the self, the improvement of a person's manners, their actions, their behavior, their worship, by a person purifying their self, refining their self, improving their condition by getting near to Allah, by the worship of Allah, obedience to Allah and following the sunnah, this person will be successful. Success is what? In purifying yourself, not staying the way that you are, but trying to make yourself better every day. I mean, which one of us does not want to be better? Anybody in his right mind, a sane person, would want to be better. But how many of us work at being better? How much effort do we put into actually doing more, being better? How hard are we working at this? That's the problem. The meaning of these verses is that he has succeeded, who purifies himself from evil and low morals. Who purifies himself from evil and low morals, and then cultivates in himself praiseworthy characteristics. Meaning you have to remove from yourself the bad things, and then you have to work on increasing the good. And the one who has neglected the purification of himself, he is lost, and he has reason for remorse, and he will be the victim of ruin from his destructive characteristics, from sinful behavior and bad character. Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, has reported on the authority of Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The most complete and perfect of the mu'mineen, of the believers, of all the people who believe in Allah, the most complete and perfect of them. In what? In iman. The most complete and perfect of them in iman. The most complete and perfect of the people who believe in iman is أحسنهم خلقاً. The one who has the best character. أكمل المؤمنين إيماناً. In iman. Not just complete and perfect in anything. In physical physique. In muscles. Or something else. The most complete and perfect in iman. أكمل المؤمنين إيماناً. In iman. Somebody else might be better than you, might be stronger than you, might be faster than you, might be taller than you, might be better than you and whatever. But the best of the people in iman is أحسنهم خلقاً. Is the one who's best in character, in morals. That should be sufficient. That should be sufficient for us to understand the importance of character, morals, manners in Islam. It is also reported on the authority of Abu Darda, radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, إِنَّ أَثْقَلَ شَيْءٍ يُوضَعَ فِي الْمِيزَانَ الْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ خُلُقٌ حَسَنٌ. That verily the weightiest thing that is placed in the scales of a believing servant on Yawm al-Qiyamah is good moral character and manners. إِنَّ أَثْقَلَ شَيْءٍ يُوضَعَ فِي مِيزَانَ الْعَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. In the scale of the believing servant on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it is good character. The weightiest thing that will be placed on the scales. Not fasting, not charity, but good character. But it's through fasting and charity and salat and worship that a person attains good character. And one of the main objectives of prayer, of fasting, of charity, of hajj, is to achieve good character, for a person to improve their character. But the most weightiest thing, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most weightiest thing, hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Albani and Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahihah said that it's sahih. The most weightiest thing that we place in the scales of the believing servant on Yawm al-Qiyamah is good character. These two hadiths point to a truth or a reality of the utmost importance, that the criterion for judging the perfection of someone's iman is not simply the abundance of acts of worship, nor the wealth of information, Rather, the criterion is in his good moral character. As the Prophet ﷺ said, the most perfect of the believers in Iman is the one who's best in character. That's the criterion. It's not how many extra rak'ah you make at night. And that's very important to do that. It's not how many books you have read and how much you have memorized. And that's important to do that too. But all of that, if that getting up in the night and praying and fasting voluntary fast and giving extra charity and reading books and studying and memorizing the Quran, if that doesn't change your behavior, your manners, then it's of no use. It's of no use. Those things are to help you to improve yourself, to get better. But if it doesn't do that, then you're doing something wrong. The criterion is your character. If you got a lot of knowledge, did it change your character? Did it make you act better? Or are you walking around here cussing like a sailor? Filthy mouth. Lying on people. Cheating people. Backbiting. Making false accusations against people because they don't agree with something that you hold to be true. And you lying on people and getting on the internet and spreading lies against people. Or getting on the telephone and backbiting people. Likewise, the greatest thing a person will be rewarded for after one's faith in Allah is good morals. The greatest thing that a person will be rewarded for after Iman is good morals. This is the weightiest thing that will be placed in the scales. Huh? I'm saying that the greatest thing that a person will be rewarded for after one's iman is good morals, based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that the weightiest thing that will be placed on the scales of a believing servant of Yawm al-Qiyamah will be good morals. So this is the weightiest thing. This is the greatest thing that a person will be rewarded for. People's reward will be based on what? How they come out with their scales. The scales of their good deeds. For this reason, we see the great importance attached to good moral character in the message of Islam, which is summarized in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. This hadith is reported by Imam Bukhari in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, and it's a hadith that's sahih, and Shaykh Al-Albani mentioned it, Silsila Al-Hadith Al-Sahihah. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innama bu'ithtu li utammima salih al-akhlaq. And in some of the narrations he said makarim al-akhlaq. Innama bu'ithtu li utammima salih al-akhlaq. That indeed the very purpose for which I have been missioned is to establish and perfect high moral standards and noble manners. The very reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, the very reason for which I have been missioned is to establish, to complete and to perfect high moral standards. He said, innama bu'ithtu. And the brothers who know Arabic, and not only Abu Bakr, whose language is Arabic, but the brothers who know Arabic and sisters know Arabic, know that innama bu'ithtu, it means more than indeed I have been missioned for this purpose. But rather innama means that verily I have been missioned for this purpose. Exclusively. This is the purpose for which the Prophet ﷺ said he had been missioned. To complete and to perfect good morals. Jazakallah khair. This is the reason why he has been missioned. This is the very purpose. In Arabic, it's beautiful. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ. That verily I have been missioned for this reason and this reason alone. لِأُتِمُّمَا. To complete, to perfect. صَالِح الْأَخْلَاقِ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. High noble standards, good morals. The amazing thing is that Islam, with all of its forms of worship and sciences, is orientated towards the refinement of good moral character. If you reflect upon the objective of the four forms of worship, which constitute the pillars of Islam after the testimony of faith, after the shahadatain, you will find them all related to developing character and morals. If you were to reflect upon the four main forms of worship after the shahadatain. Those four things that constitute the pillars of Islam after the shahadatain. That is salat and zakat and siyam and hajj. You will find that all of them are related to developing character and morals. As far as the salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَقِمْ الصَّلَاةِ and establish the salat. Why? إِنَّ الصَّلَاةِ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ Establish the salat. For indeed, the salat prevents one from al-fahsha, filth and indecency, wal-munkar, every kind of evil or wicked deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Quran, aqim as-salat, establish the salat. Why? Because the salat, inna salat tanha, prohibits a person, restricts and stops a person from al-fahsha and al-munkar. The salat, if a person is performing the salat correctly, with sincerity and properly, with consciousness, khushu, it will help them to stop doing evil. It will prevent them from fahsha wal munkar. There's no doubt that this is one of the main purposes of salat. For a person to improve their character, to act better, to be better, to stop the filth and indecency and sin and corruption that we were engaged in before we were Muslims. And then when we came to Islam, we're supposed to stop that stuff. Can we make a salat now? 5 times a day, 7 days a week, every day of the whole year, all of our life, until we die. If that don't work, then what will? If it's not working, there's something wrong with your salat. As far as the zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, خُذ. And by the way, the previous ayat is in Surah Al-Ankabut. 29, ayah 45. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Surah At-Tawbah, Surah 9, ayah 103. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Allah is ordering the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, take from their wealth, صَدَقَةً, صَدَقَةً, charity. Take from their wealth, charity. For what reason? تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. تُطَهِّرُهُمْ, to purify them. To purify them. From what? From sinful behavior and low morals, bad manners. To purify them from sinful behavior and bad character. وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ, to increase them. To increase them. In what? In good behavior, good acts of worship and good manners and morals. How does this work? Allah knows that when a person gives sadaqah purely for the sake of Allah, this is a means of purification. It purifies a person from evil and corruption and sin and wrongdoing. It increases them in doing good because it brings a person nearer to Allah and it strengthens them and enables them to do that which is good for them. And so it is with as-siyam, fasting, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Surah Al-Baqarah 2, ayah 183. Oh, you believe, fasting has been prescribed for you, made obligatory upon you, as it was prescribed for those before you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you will attain taqwa. Why has fasting been prescribed for you as it was prescribed, just like it was prescribed in the nations before you? That you will achieve taqwa. That you will become conscious of Allah. So that it will be a shield for you to protect you from sinful behavior that will lead to Allah's punishment. It will protect you from that. It will improve your behavior. It will improve your character, your manners, your morals, your worship. If you fast. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, مَنْ لَمْ يَدْعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدْعَ طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. مَنْ لَمْ يَدْعَ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلَ. That whoever doesn't give up false speech and acting upon false speech and al-jahl, ignorance, ليس لله حاجة في أن يضع طعامه وشرابه. Allah has no need for you to give up your food and drink. No need for you to fast. Because there's a reason for fasting. So if that ain't happening, no need for you to fast. Allah don't need you to give up food and drink. But Allah has prescribed fasting in order for you to achieve taqwa. So you can stop lying. So you can stop acting ignorantly. So you can change your behavior. And as for the Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:197, Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat. That the Hajj is in the well-known months. Meaning the 10th month, 11th month. And the first days, 10 days of the 12th month, the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجِّ. So whoever makes intention to perform Hajj in those times, in those months, because you can't make Hajj outside of that time. فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ. Whoever enters the state of Ihram with the intention of making Hajj at that time, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ. Then there should be no rafath, and no fusuq, and no jidal in Hajj. Because Hajj is supposed to what? Get you near to Allah. You get in the state of Ihram, you're supposed to change your behavior, right? Brothers who made Hajj last year, you get in Ihram, you gotta change your whole life, right? You gotta act different. You gotta make sure that you're on top of it. You're thinking about Allah, that your behavior is different, right? Mustafa? Right. Huh? Bishakur, Alameen, all y'all was there together last year, right? Yeah. Huh? It makes you change, brother. It's supposed to make you change. There's no rafath. You can't even have sexual relations with your wife while you're in ihram. Let alone doing some illegal stuff like these animals are doing out here in these streets. Huh? وَلَا فُسُوقَ. No sinful behavior. وَلَا جِدَالَ. Unjust, unnecessary, arguing and disputing while you're in Hajj. So as you can see, all of these things, whether salat or zakat or siyam or Hajj, the objective is to make a person conscious of Allah, to change their behavior. And Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 21, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those before you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that you may attain taqwa. Meaning that worship, every type of worship, is intended to help a person to attain or to achieve a taqwa. And so it is with the Islamic sciences. The knowledge does not benefit the one who has learned it unless and except it causes him to achieve the characteristic of al-khashya, the fear of Allah. If a person seeks knowledge and they gain knowledge and it doesn't help them to attain al-khashya, fear of Allah, the consciousness of Allah that entails a person having hope of Allah's reward and fear of His punishment, and therefore they change their behavior. Al-Khashya. Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That verily, from the servants of Allah, those who have khashya of Allah are only the ulama. From amongst the servants of Allah, those who have khashya of Allah are only the ulama. Huh? And Surah Al-Fatir, 35, Ayah 28, Surah Al-Fatir. Meaning that if a person has real knowledge, not just information that they collected, but they have knowledge that they have taken in and they have accepted it and they believe in it and they try to act by it, then it will change them. It will enable them to have khashya of Allah. Allah said the people, the real scholars, people who have knowledge that they live by and they act upon, then these are the people, the only people who have khashya of Allah. Everybody according to their knowledge. The more that you have of real knowledge that you live by, the more you fear Allah. And the less that you have, the less you fear Allah. That's what Allah said. It is due to these irrefutable facts that bad moral character of a person is considered a clear proof of the weakness of his iman. Now, meaning that it's in accordance with a person's knowledge. The more knowledge that a person has, Real knowledge. Knowledge that's knowledge from the Quran and Sunnah. That they're living by. That they understand and they act upon. The more they will have khashya of Allah. And the less knowledge that they have, the less they're going to have khashya of Allah. Because in order for you to fear Allah the way He deserves to be feared, you have to have knowledge of Allah. You have to know Allah. So the people who really have khashya of Allah, the way it's supposed to be, are the ulama. And all of us have some knowledge. So to the extent of our knowledge, this will determine how much fear of Allah we will have. So these facts, it is due to these facts, that bad moral character of a person, and we should look at ourselves, because all of us have some bad morals or some bad characteristics. But the bad moral character of a person is considered a clear proof of the weakness of that person's iman. Look at your own self and judge yourself. No matter how much he or she displays the outward appearance, which is in accord with the Islamic laws, meaning they're fasting, praying, making hajj, and wearing Islamic clothes, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter. The person who has bad character, this is a clear proof and an indication. Clear proof and indication of the weakness of their iman. In this light, Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, narrates from Abu Hurairah. And this hadith is a beautiful hadith. And most of us, we heard it before. But maybe some of us didn't hear it like this. Imam Muslim narrated from Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ayatul Munafiq Thalath. That the signs of the hypocrite, the signs that let you identify hypocrisy in yourself before you start looking at it in somebody else. Ayatul Munafiq Thalath. Three are the signs of a hypocrite. Either haddatha kadhaba. When he speaks, he lies. So how much do we lie? Wa idha wa'ada akhlafa. And when we promise, we break our promises. How often do we break our promises? You promised somebody just the other day, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to come here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to do that. And we didn't do it. وَإِذَا تُمِنَا خَانَا. And when we entrusted, and when he's entrusted with something, he violates the trust. How often do we violate the trust? This hadith is famous. We all heard it before, right? But did you hear this part? Two hadith after that, Imam Muslim mentions another narration of the same hadith in his Sahih. Same hadith, the ayat al-munafiq thalatha. When he speaks, he lies. When he makes a promise, he breaks it. And when he's entrusted with something, he violates it. وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّ وَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. These are the signs of a hypocrite. Even if he fasts, and even if he prays, and even if he زَعْمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. The Prophet ﷺ said this. Even if he claims that he's a Muslim. Even if he claims that he's a Muslim. Even if he fasts. And even if he prays. And even if he claims that he's a Muslim. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. If you have these signs, these are the signs of hypocrisy. That's serious. These are the signs of a person who has bad character. When he speaks, he lies. This is not, it's normal. That's how they do. The kafirs, they do like that. But the Muslim is not supposed to be like that. Because the Muslim is a person of character. Okay? When they speak, they lie. When they make a promise, they never keep their promise. Not just the politicians. Politicians, everybody knows politicians don't keep their promise. But even the normal people don't keep their promise. Are we like that too? When we're entrusted with something, we violate. Violate the trust. Naam, akhi. Questions, inshallah, after. Inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Even if he prays, even if he fasts, even if he makes hajj and umrah and wears Islamic clothes, turbans and short thobes, and long beards. If that's his character, he has the characteristics of a hypocrite, even though he claims that he's a Muslim. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. From the above, we know the acts of worship are of little benefit to those who perform them, if or as long as he or she has not benefited from it in terms of improvement and refinement, which affects his or her character. From this we can understand the importance of a Muslim making a critical examination of his or her character and trying to better it to whatever extent that might be possible. From this we can understand what? The importance of making a critical examination of our own character. Everybody should look at themselves. Examine yourself. We need to look at ourselves. We shouldn't be satisfied. I'm good. I'm a Muslim. I'm on my way. Some of us are about to die. We're getting ready to leave here. The Prophet ﷺ said, the Umrah, the age of my Ummah is bayna sittin wa sabayin, between 60 and 70 years. A lot of us are already past 60. Some of us are already past 70. So as the old folks used to say, I think I heard Imam Ibrahim say it the other day, the old folks used to say you're living on borrowed time when you get that age. We need to check ourselves out, make some effort to change it. Why shouldn't we change ourselves? Since our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to supplicate his Lord Azza wa Jalla with these words, Allahumma hdini li ahsan al akhlaq. Oh Allah, guide me to the best of character, best of morals. La yahdi li ahsaniha illa anta. There's no one who can guide to the best of morals except you, O Allah. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this supplication. He used to say all the time, Allahumma hdini li ahsan al akhlaq. Oh Allah, guide me to the best of character and morals. La yahdi. No one guides to it. Li ahsaniha illa anta. Wasrif anni sayyi'aha. And turn away from me evil character and morals. La yasrif anni sayyi'aha illa anta. And no one turns away from me evil and low morals and character and manners except you. And it was he, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was making this supplication. It was he whose moral character was praised by Allah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qalam 68 ayah 4, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin 'azim, wa innaka, definitely indeed you, la'ala, lam here is lam ta'keed, and he already says certainly, innaka, indeed, verily you, la'ala, are definitely upon khuluqin 'azim, certainly, definitely you are on the highest standard or level of moral character. That's what Allah said about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, Allahumma hdini li ahsan al akhlaq. Oh Allah, guide me to the best of character. How much more do we need to be asking Allah for good morals and manners and character? Surah Qalam 68 verse 4, ayah 4. Wallahu musta'an. May Allah help us. I haven't been doing this in a long time, so please forgive me. I haven't been giving lectures in a long time and I can't keep track of the time. We're not going to finish, but Allahu musta'an. Let me just make one more point, inshallah, before. Is it time for the adhan? Huh? It's time? Tayyib. Inshallah, we would like to look at two types of character after the adhan quickly, and then we'll take questions or any comments or corrections. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إذا سمعتم المؤذن فقولوا مثل ما يقول." If you hear the muadhin announcing the words of the adhan, say what, like what he's saying. This is from the sunnah, to repeat what the muadhin is saying in adhan. Two types of character, characters of two types: natural and acquired. Natural, yani jabali, fitri, that which Allah created a person with. This type of character, they were born like this. And acquired, al-muhtasab, the character that a person learns or strives to achieve. Two types of character, natural and acquired. The first is the favor of Allah, the natural character. The favor of Allah, which He gives to whomever of His servants He wills. Like the prophets of Allah and those whom He has chosen from amongst His awliya, the people of Iman and Taqwa. Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, in a narration that's reported by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and the scholars of Hadith say that even though this athar, it is mawquf sanadan, meaning the isnad of it is mawquf on Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he didn't attribute it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it's marfu'ul hukman. Even though the isnad doesn't go past Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as a statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, but it is marfu' hukman, meaning that in reality it's marfu' related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a rule in the science of hadith, that whenever a companion who's not known to narrate from the Ahlul Kitab, Israeliyat, he's not known for that. If he says something that can't be said by opinion, meaning it's from the matters that are unseen, the ghaib, then it's attributed to the Prophet ﷺ. Because he couldn't have got it from the Ahlul Kitab if he didn't narrate from them. And he couldn't have just made it up. Because this is not something you can make up. Like somebody saying it's going to be in Jannah such and such and so and so. How do you know that? You can't know that except by revelation. If it's from the things of the unseen, then it have to be from the Prophet ﷺ. So the scholars of hadith, they say that this mawquf, statement of Abdul Mas'ud, that's attributed to Abdul Mas'ud, he didn't attribute it to the Prophet. In reality, it's a statement of the Prophet ﷺ. Imam Bukhari narrated in his Sahih, he said that Abdul Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَسَّمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَخْلَاقَكُمْ كَمَا قَسَّمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَرْزَاقَكُمْ. That indeed Allah the Most High has divided or distributed amongst you أَخْلَاقَكُمْ, character, the good characteristics that people have. Allah has given some people naturally good character. He has divided it though. Allah has divided it amongst the people. كَمَا قَسَّمَ بَيْنَكُمْ أَرْزَاقَكُمْ. In the same way that He's divided amongst you, your provisions, your risk. Allah is the one who decided how much provisions a person is going to have in this world. How much money they're going to have, how many houses they're going to have, how many cars they're going to have, how much food they're going to get, and whatever else. All of that is decided by Allah. It's pre-decreed. It's left to you how you're going to get it. You're going to steal it or you're going to work for it. Halal or haram. But as far as what you're going to get, everybody's provisions decided by Allah is the one who divided up how He willed. He divided up the akhlaq the same way He divided up the arzaq. And just like everybody understands that Allah is the one who, the Muslims do anyway, that Allah is the one who decided how much provisions a person is going to have, but yet people go out and work hard, right? Either as a thief or an honest person, people go out hard to get some provisions. But it's already decided. You're going to get that. Guaranteed. But nonetheless, we go out and work hard to get that, right? So why don't we work hard to get our good character? Allah is the one who has divided up. He divided the provisions the same way He divided the character. So just like we strive to get worldly stuff, strive to get the things that are pleasing to Allah. That will weigh on your scales on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Determine your position in next life. As far as the second type of character, Allah has given some people good character. Some aspects of good character, some characteristics distinguished from others. Some people are just honest. Some people are just. Some people are fair. Some people are kind. Some people are charitable. All of us got something. Allah gave us something. Maybe we didn't develop it, but Allah gave us some good characteristics. But some of us just didn't develop it. قَدْ أَفْلَاهَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who's successful is the one who purifies himself. Whatever Allah has given, he got to work on it. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And the one who fail, who will be destroyed, is the one who corrupted it. Allah gave you some good character when He divided it up. But some people corrupted it. They didn't develop it. They didn't work on it. That's the first type of character that Allah gave to some people naturally according to His favor to whomever He wills. And the second type of character is the acquired characteristic that someone attains after struggling against himself, training himself, restraining himself, striving to be better. Such is the one who is certain that he possesses a type of evil characteristic and he knows the consequences of that evil characteristic. He also knows that it indicates the weakness of his iman. And he knows the good rewards that will pass him by because of this bad characteristic. So what does he do? Keep doing it? No. He declares war against himself and continues to be firm with himself, taking account of what he does, examining himself, encouraging the good, and warning himself from the evil until he resigns to do good and purifies himself from his evil characteristics. You gotta do some work. In time, his moral behavior and characters improve little by little. If he was stingy, he becomes generous. If he was short-tempered, he begins to become patient and easy. If he was proud, he becomes humble. If he had hatred and spite for other people, he begins to love for good for other people. The liar becomes a truthful person. The one who's known for breaking his promise and violating trust becomes one who keeps his promises and delivers the trust to the rightful recipients, and so on. It is as though he became another person. Wallahi, some of us, some people who knew us before we were Muslims, long time ago, probably could say some things, and we would say, Can't believe that's the same person. Some of us. Maybe some of you were real good. Like, I don't want to say no names because it could be embarrassing. But there are some people who we knew them a long time ago. When they were very young people and they were good then. But some of us, we wasn't good then. Some of us were doing all kind of stuff. Some of us were real savages, animals. And then Islam came and we practiced it and it changed us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm going to end with this. In a hadith that Shaykh al-Albani mentions, Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir, hadith number 23-28, from on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ وَمَنْ يَتَحَرَّ الْخَيْرُ يُعْتَهُ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ الشَّرُّ يُوَقَّهُ. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, that verily indeed, knowledge is only achieved through learning. Person got to learn, they got to read, they got to study, they got to ask questions. I read books, gotta go to school. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ, knowledge is achieved through learning. وَإِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ, and patience and forbearance is achieved by striving, by struggling to be patient. When somebody said something you didn't like, you just hold your tongue. When somebody did something you didn't like, you restrained yourself. Somebody spoke harshly to you, instead of saying the same thing back to them, you hold your tongue. You met evil with good. Or at least, if you couldn't meet evil with good, at least you didn't meet evil with evil. إِنَّمَا الْحِلْمُ بِالتَّحَلُّمُ. A person becomes patient and tolerant and forbearing by striving to do so. By striving to be like that. By being around people who are patient, who are forbearing, who are gentle, who are kind, who are easy. Being around those people and trying to be like them. Being in a better environment where people are acting good, so that encourage you to act good. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the man who killed 99 people and he wanted to repent. Huh? And he went and asked the guy who's supposed to know something, is there any repentance for me? Killed 99 people, said, nope, not for you, buddy. No hopes for you. Might as well keep on going, and killed him. He went to a man who really had knowledge and he told him, yes, you can repent, but you got to leave the place where you are in this bad environment and go to the place where the people are worshiping Allah alone. Because what? Because when you change your environment, you can change your behavior from your environment. I was an addiction counselor. Used to work with people what? Who are alcoholics, people who are drug addicts. That was my profession. And I used to tell them, they used to tell them in that philosophy, change your environment. Don't be around the people who's doing bad stuff like that. But I used to tell them, you got to change your whole lifestyle. You want to be around people who ain't using no drugs and no alcohol and stuff like that? You got to be around the Muslims. I don't even know if you can say that today. Allahu musta'an. But we ain't using no drugs and no alcohol. But you got to change your environment. You want to change your behavior, you got to change your environment. You got to strive. You gotta work hard at changing yourself. You gotta make an effort. This is the acquired character that a person can achieve by striving, by struggling, by working hard to do better. It's by being in a better environment, being around better people, and striving and struggling to do better. And with this, brothers, we're reminded of the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The actions are judged by intentions. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مَا نَوَىٰ. And everyone will be given that which he has intended. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So whoever's hijrah is for Allah and His Messenger, then he will be rewarded with the reward of hijrah for Allah and His Messenger. I say this takes us back to that hadith. Why? Because it takes us back to hijrah. A person wants to change their environment. They have to get out of this kafir environment. Really. I send you back again to Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah of the Quran, ayah 97, 98, and 99. Please read it. And read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir of those ayats. It's serious. It's serious. You have to give yourself a chance. Change your environment. Go to a place where you hear the adhan and you walk to the masjid every day. You don't got to get on a bus. or train or taxi. If you ain't got no car, how you gonna make it to the masjid? Brother walking 20 blocks from his house to the masjid for Salatul Fajr. May Allah reward him for every step. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. But some people ain't gonna make it because they can't walk that far. So we don't come to the masjid. So you come to the masjid for Fajr, almost in any masjid. I don't care, even if in some masjids they got 100 people. And on Jummah they got 2,000 people. So where's the rest of the people? Can't make it. If you die, you'll probably be buried in a cemetery with kuffar and mushrikeen. Even though they got some cemeteries, right? They got some cemeteries where they bury us, right? When we die, they're going to bury us in one of those cemeteries. And right beside you is a kafir. Maybe he's in this plot, this side, this area is for the Muslims. But then the next area, there ain't no Muslim cemetery. The next area got mushrikeen. It's in there definitely burning in fire, in the grave. Fire in the grave, yeah. That's who you want to be buried next to? You might be on the edge of the Muslim plot at a cemetery, next to the mushriks. You ain't got no guarantee you're going to be in the middle of the Muslim area. In a Muslim country, you die to bury in a Muslim cemetery. You be buried with Muslims. Wallahu musta'an. We're going to take 5 minutes, inshallah. 10 minutes. We got 10 minutes for the adhan, right? 10 minutes for the adhan? I mean, the iqamah? 10 minutes? Any question or any comment or any correction? Now. When you're joking and what? Can you lie? No, you cannot lie. It's haram. It's haram to tell a lie, to make people to laugh. It's haram. It's forbidden. Naam. Yeah, I'm sorry, akhi. You mean character? In some of the Arab countries, they don't like you to point your feet at them. So please pardon me, brothers. You know? Huh? Then the sheet? Yeah. But you know, I have, I'm getting old. I'm past that 60 mark. And, Allahu musta'an. Yeah, I gotta stretch my legs a little bit. Yeah. Yeah, the reason why I chose this topic, Akhi, because I believe that it's of the utmost importance. If you listen to the ayahs of the Quran that we read, and if you listen to the hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is just a small selection. There are a lot of hadith that I wanted to read, but I knew that it wouldn't be time, right? I knew it wouldn't be time, so I tried to select just a couple, just for us to understand the importance of this topic. The reason why I chose it, Akhi, because in my heart, I believe that it's needed. Not only is it important in Islam for every Muslim, any place in the earth, but for us, in this situation that we're in, we're in need of it, brother. We're in dire need of looking at our character and our morals and our manners. We're in dire need, brother. I mean, it's sad. It's sad for a person who lived in a Muslim country to come here and see the condition of the Muslims after seeing how Muslims are. I ain't talking about that the Muslims in the Muslim country is better than the Muslims here. They got their problems too. But I'm saying a person that's raised in a Muslim country, in a Muslim family, they have certain things, brother, that's a given. Like certain things they just don't do. Certain things they just don't do. We don't got that, brother. We don't got that. I'm not saying all of us, some of us, yes. MashaAllah, there are some people, I could say that, even sitting in this room right now, who were raised with good morals and good manners. But that's not the norm for us. That's not the norm for us. I know that we're in need of examining ourselves and looking at our manners and our character and trying to improve ourselves. And that's why I chose the topic. Is there a blueprint for identifying the things that need to be changed in your character? I can't say there's a blueprint, but what I can do, I can give you a list of some of the things that I had written down once. You know, some of the brothers, we were sitting having a discussion like this, and somebody asked a similar question. You know, how do we know what we need to change in our character? So we just, I said, okay, I'm going to start writing on a board. Everybody mention something that's in your own self. Don't tell me about nobody else. What's in yourself that you want to change? And one brother said, I'm not very truthful. And another brother said, I'm not charitable. And another brother said, you know, I'd be looking at women. And another brother said something else. And I just wrote it on a board. I wrote on a board and I compiled them. And we came up with about 20 things that were common amongst Muslims. The people who were given these things, they were Muslims. So I wrote them down, I typed it up, and I gave it to the brothers. And inshallah, I think I may still have it. We can make our own list. We can make our own list. But we know basically what they are. You know, there's no specific blueprint, but there's a book called Kabair. One of them is by Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of hadith. He wrote a book called Al-Kabair, which he collected the major sins in Islam. And those are the things we can start with. We got to get rid of major sins before we start looking at little things. We got serious problems. Now, somebody had their hand back here? Now, now. Yeah, the other signs. Now. Now. Now, there are other signs, but this is one hadith, three signs, the other one four signs, and there are other signs of hypocrisy also. But I just mentioned this hadith because of this particular statement in the hadith. وَإِنْ صَامَ وَصَلَّ وَزَعْمَ أَنَّهُ مُسْلِمٌ. Even though he fasts and prays and claims that he's a Muslim. Because some of us think, because I entered Islam, khalas, I'm protected. I'm free. Not necessarily. Now, I'm Jabir. When a hadith recited that a person, feels shaken, shooken, a person who has iman should feel that, brother. Naam, definitely. How can a person not be shaken by a statement that we know is truth, al-haq, is the truth from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whatever he says is the truth, is revelation from Allah. How can we not be shaken by that? Whoever has iman, how can they not be concerned? When the best of people after the prophets, the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they used to say that they were concerned about hypocrisy. They were concerned about hypocrisy. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhu, who are the hypocrites? The people who were walking around Medina, who were saying they were Muslims. He told them every one of their names, who they are. And Umar asked him who they were. He wanted to know who the hypocrites was. So he used to watch Hudhayfa. Hudhayfa didn't go to somebody's janazah, he knew he was one of the hypocrites. Okay? The people who were better than us, the real believers, akhi, sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajmeen, they used to be concerned about hypocrisy. They used to be concerned about nifaq. Meaning these people have real iman, akhi, and they were worshipping Allah, and they were dedicating their lives, and yet they were afraid that, could I be a hypocrite? Umar asked Hudhayfa, am I one of them? Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention my name? He told him, no. Alhamdulillah. If he was worried, what condition are we in? How can we not be afraid of being a hypocrite? And therefore, a person should examine themselves. They should look at themselves and say, man, do I have any of these signs? Even a little bit of it? I need to work on that. Anybody have a question? No. The Tarjama? The Kitab Al-Kaba'i is translated. It's a lot of translations of it. A lot of translations by different people. Some of them are not so good. Like I said, any book that you want to purchase, brothers, ask somebody first before you buy it, so you don't get a book that you end up later on throwing away. But Kabaya by Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi is an excellent book. But you need to look at the best translation. Inshallah, we'll try to find out which translation is the best. And by the way, last week somebody asked about a book list, and I did mention that we'll make a book list. I started making a list. And also I said that we'll give you some sites where you can get some books. And one of the brothers sent me some sites, but when I started looking at it, we have to examine and make sure what's on there. But I did find one site that has some free books that you can download, e-books, you can download free. Some of those books on there are good books, brother. There's not a lot of books on that particular site, but I sent it by email to everybody who's on our mailing list for the class. So if you check your email, inshallah, it should be in there. Open up that website. The link that's on there is just a link. Open it up and you see some books on there. You can download them free. Don't cost you nothing. And those books, I looked at each of them, they're good books. And some of the other sites, inshallah, brother sent me three websites, links for three websites that have free books also. But I didn't get a chance to look through them, that's why I didn't send it yet. I want to look through it and see what's in there. But probably what we'll do is try to make a list from those websites that have free books, a list of the books that we know are good. And then we'll tell you, go to this website and these are some of the good books on there, inshallah. Because I don't want to be responsible for connecting somebody to something that may cause a problem. Because I know, you know, like I said last week, Dar es Salaam is a good bookstore. Those people upon the sunnah, but not every book that they sell is good. So when you go there, you gotta be careful. Any place you go, you gotta be careful. Somebody else had a hand? Yeah. The salam. You gotta make it brief, okay, because I gotta repeat it to the sisters. The sisters can't hear the question.
The question is,
yeah, I heard the first part of the question.
Person
changed their nature.
No. Is, in your face, like, can old dogs change like a lion? Can you make them a lamb?
Yeah. Can a person change their character? Absolutely. No. Absolutely. A person can change their character. Can a person change their nature? The nature of every human being? Fitratullah التي فطر الناس عليها. Is the fitrah, the natural inclination of submission, the inclination to worship Allah alone, is the nature of every human being. كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every human being is born upon the fitrah. The nature of the human being is righteousness, is good. But they have been changed by their parents to something else. Can it be changed back to their nature? Absolutely. It can be changed back to the nature Allah created them upon. Any characteristic that a person has that's not good, it can be fixed. It can be worked on. Now, otherwise, if it couldn't be, Allah wouldn't ask us to do better. The Prophet ﷺ wouldn't teach us to supplicate for Allah to improve your good characteristics and to turn you away from evil characteristics. If that wasn't possible, we wouldn't be directed to ask Allah to do that. It wouldn't make sense to ask Allah to do something that can't be done. Absolutely, a person can change. But how much effort will you make to change, though? Some people have proven that. Some people were junkies, stick-up kids. That's what we used to call them, stick-up kids. I don't know if they still use that language. You know what it means. Like them kids and boys came out. I came out the masjid the other day after Asr prayer. I was standing there talking to a brother. I saw two stick-up kids come out of the beauty parlor across the street directly opposite the masjid on Notion Avenue. With masks and guns in their hands, right? In broad daylight. Stick-up kids. They just went in there and stuck them up. The day before the Labor Day. Beauty parlor was full of people that they just got finished doing about 100 heads all day long. End of the day, they went in there and stuck them up. Can the stick-up kid change? Yes. Maybe somebody in here was a stick-up kid. No, definitely some of us was on drugs and alcohol and all kind of other stuff. Some of us was killers and murderers. Maybe somebody sitting here was a killer. Really a killer. And the man who killed 99 people. He said, yeah, you could change too. You can repent and change. Naam. If he can change, he killed 99 people. Matter of fact, he killed 100 people, right? He killed 100 people. Ain't none of us killed no 100 people, I don't think. That's what he was in the army in Vietnam mowing down villages like these kafirs do. Huh? Yes, a person can change. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, try to answer whatever questions you can answer of what we covered today from the questions that's on the questionnaire study guide.